Are you ready for God's word? Oh, me too. Oh, I tell you, well, we're going to finish up the series that I started a few weeks back, and I titled it Just Speak to Me. And so today, as we finish this up, I want to ask you a really quick question. How many of you have a friend or you know someone that's just so close to God that it seems like they have God on speed dial? You know, I mean, anybody have an annoying friend like that? You know, it's like they pray and man, the heavens open up. Or they'll say, God, give me a sign, and a dove comes and lands on their head, you know. I mean, it's like they just have this direct connect box to God. But I look around at myself sometimes, and maybe you feel the same way, and you're like, you know, on the other hand here, I'm praying, and I'm seeking God, and I'm reading His Word, and it's still crickets, you know. I'm just not hearing what God is wanting to say to me. And if you're like me, maybe you wonder sometimes, you begin to wonder, you're like, well, what am I doing wrong? Or am I praying wrong? Is there sin in my life? Do I have a lack of faith? Am I listening to too much secular music? Like, I need more Carrie Job and less Taylor Swift, you know? And I'm not a Swiftie, just, but you know, just trying to make a point. Are we, you know, sometimes we feel spiritually stuck, and you just can't quite discern what God wants for you. Well, can I say to you this morning, you're not alone. You're not alone. There's a lot of us that feel that way. And so today, as we wrap up this message series called Just Speak to Me, what I want to do today is I just want to show you three of the most common mistakes or traps, if you will, that I see people make whenever they're trying to discern God's will for their life. And so I have some really good news. If you are seeking God and you're looking for His will in your life, the good news is that you're probably not as far off as you think you are, okay? And so we're going to talk about the three traps that can cause you to miss God's will. Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank You this morning that You are a good God, and that You love us, God, and that You want to show us Your will. You want to direct our steps into that perfect will. And so today, God, I pray that You would use Your word. God, through Your word, teach us how to know You personally and how we can follow You intimately, God. Father, I pray that You would bless us with Your word, bless us with Your presence, bless us with Your wisdom, God, and give us Your guidance this morning. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen, amen. So let's take just a few moments and kind of review where we've been over the last few weeks in case there's someone that hasn't been here or you just need a new foundation of what we're talking about. So in week number one, we talked about the four aspects of God's will, right? We see that first we talked about God's sovereign will. This is God's master plan that will come to pass. It cannot be changed. There's nothing you can do or I can do to mess it up or to change it. This is God's sovereign will, and it will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And then the second one we talked about was God's moral will. And this is His revealed will through His word to you and me on how you and I should act morally and how we should behave and how we should treat people. And we also learned in that week that His will for us is to be holy, right? And to be set apart. And then thirdly, we talked about God's permissive will. And because God loves you and I so much that He gives us this freedom to choose to love Him or to not love Him. He gives us the freedom to choose to obey Him or disobey Him. But we also learned in there that sometimes with this choice and this freedom that we will make choices that are kind of outside of God's heart. And the neat thing that we learned is that God takes those things and He still turns them around and He uses them for His sovereign will, right? And then we talked about God's personal will for us. You know, God knew you before you were born. He created you and He gave you a certain amount of gifts and talents for Him to use for His kingdom. And we learned that God's personal will is for you and me to make a difference in the lives of those around us, right? And so that's what we learned in week number one. Week number two, we talked about when it comes to God's will, how most of us, we think of God's will as more of about what we do. Like, God, what do you want me to do now? Or God, what do you want me to do next? And we learned that God's will is more about a who than it is a do, right? And so God is more concerned about he's more concerned about your character, and his will for you and I is to be holy and to be set apart and to become more like Jesus. And so before he's concerned about what you do professionally, he's more concerned about how you act in private, and your integrity and things like that. And so God's will is more about a who than a do. And then last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul, didn't we? We talked about ways that God guided Paul to his will and how God uses those ways still today to lead you and I into his perfect will. He uses these natural ways, right? We've seen that sometimes it's through open doors and how God will just open up a door of ministry opportunity, and he just opens up doors for us. And then we've seen also that God sometimes guides us through closed doors. Where we found out that a no from God is not necessarily punishment, but sometimes it's really a protection for us. And so we talked about the third thing was God, he helps us through frustrated plans, right? Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that will prevail. And so we don't always get what we want, but what he does is he directs us to what he wants. And so finally, we talked about how God gives us everyday choices, right? Like if we're living in the moral will of God, if we're following him, sometimes God will just say, hey, you can just choose. You can choose. Like, do you want to work here or work there? Do you want to live here or do you live there? But what he's telling you is, like, if you're living morally for him and you're seeking him, it doesn't matter sometimes to him where you work or where you live. All he's concerned with is that you do everything that you do for the glory of God. Amen? And so the main principle of this whole message series that I've been talking about is this, and you've probably heard me say it, I don't know how many times over the last 3 weeks, and I don't know how many times I'm going to say it today, because I really want to drive this point home to you. This is what this whole series is about. And the answer, the key to this is, if you want to know God's will, you've got to know God's heart. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to talk about these three traps that sometimes we tend to fall into when we're seeking God's will for our lives. And so if you've ever thought to yourself, God, just speak to me. Like, God, I want to do your will, but I don't want to mess it up. Like, God, I'm not sure if I should date this person or if I should take this job. If you've ever felt confused, chances are you're falling into one of these three traps. But the good news is that when we recognize these traps, we can avoid them from now on, right? And so let's talk about these three common traps. Excuse me. Number one is we over-spiritualize God's will. Now, I know what you might be thinking right now. You might be thinking, well, that's a weird thing for a pastor to say, because aren't we supposed to be spiritual? Yes, we are. We're supposed to be spiritual, but I'm telling you, there's some people that are just too spiritual. Have you ever heard the term, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? Anybody ever heard that before? Yeah. So it's these people, they want everything to feel mystical, and they want God to always speak to them through a burning bush. You know, they oh, I got to see a burning bush. Or maybe they want God to speak to them with writing in the clouds. You know, and so they got to have this writing. And sometimes we want to hear this audible voice like Morgan Freeman here, you know, because isn't that how God's voice should sound? It should sound like this, right? You know, and so I'm just trying to make a little bit light, you know, because I want us to understand today that we can over spiritualize things sometimes. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll say, God, just give me a sign, right? And then sometimes we'll tell exactly what we want that sign to be. Anybody ever done that? I know I have. In other words, what we're doing is we're saying, God, do what I want, when I want, so that I can know that this is what you want. Right? And so we're like, give me a sign. And so I have to admit that I've done this before. I've asked for signs before. And sometimes, though, I think that I'm not really just asking for direction, but what I'm wanting is I'm wanting permission to do what I've already decided in my heart I want to do. Right? And so if you want me to take this job, God, you know, if this is a perfect opportunity for me, man, I've been wanting this job. It's got better benefits, better pay. God, I really want to take this job. But if you want me to do this, God, like turn one of the next five stoplights green when I pull up, you know, like, and God, if it's not green, make it yellow. You know, I mean, we're just trying to get our way, right? Just show me that this is your will, God. Give me a sign. And then we're going to look today in the book of Matthew at the Pharisees in the New Testament. And they were guilty of seeking signs too. And I want us to look at what they were doing because they weren't always in the purest motives either. In Matthew 12, 38 and 39, we see the wrong motives that they're using. It says this, "Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to Jesus, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.'" In other words, what they're saying is, prove yourself to us. Prove yourself to us. And let's see what Jesus says here. Jesus answered, he says, "A wicked and adulterous generation ask for a sign." Now, I have to tell you, I have to admit, this one made me ask Jesus a little bit. I said, why such the strong response here, Jesus? You know? And I think it was because the Pharisees, they weren't just seeking a sign about what to do, but they were seeking proof of who he is. And so the reality is that sometimes you and I, we may not just be seeking proof, but sometimes we just want a sign, right? So let's call it what it is, okay? We're just going to boil this down and call it what it is. Because you and I, we want an excuse to pursue what we already want. And I have to admit, I've done it. I've been there. I've done this. And so if you ever ask God for a sign, God, show me, because I want this sign. I think that a lot of times what we're not even seeking a sign from God really as much as we're just seeking confirmation for what we want to do. And so we pray about it, but we kind of pray about it. We really don't pray about it. And instead of talking to God, we end up probably talking to just about everybody besides God. Like we come and we ask our best friend, or we ask our therapist, or we ask the barista, you know, just give me some wisdom, you know. And what do you think of this? And all along, I think that what we haven't done, we haven't done the things that God has already showed us in his word, right? And I could say it this way. We're asking God for an open door when we still have closed Bibles. We're trying to take God's will and force it onto God, asking him for a sign. And James tells us this in James chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "If any of you lack wisdom," what do? Say it with me. "You should ask God," right? So if you need wisdom, like where to go, what to do, what to say, how to respond, who to date, if you need wisdom, you go to God. Because if you want to know God's will, you got to know God's heart. You ask God, he who gives wisdom generously to all without finding fault, say this with me, "and it will be given to you." So if you lack wisdom, you ask God. You seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things, they'll be added unto you, right? So if you want to know God's will, you got to get to know God's heart. So the first trap that we see is that sometimes we over-spiritualize it. The second trap that I want to show us today is that sometimes we tend to over-analyze it. And I think this might be one of the biggest things that I see, especially today's generation. And I believe it's because there's so many options out there, because you have so much access to compare yourself to everyone else's life, right? And so because we see all these places that we could go and all these things that we could be doing, we end up not doing the important things that God has placed right in front of us today. And so we become almost afraid that we're going to make the wrong choice because we've seen so many other choices out there. And if you think if we make the wrong choice, then you're going to miss out on something better, right? Anybody ever thought about that? I think about it all the time. Boy, if I get that, well, what if I come along with something better? I get tickled at Shelley sometimes, and I'm going to tell off on her a minute. So she'll go shopping, and she'll say, oh, man, I wish I'd have had some money today because I found 100 things I wanted. And then she'll go shopping, and she might have a little bit of money, and I say, well, why didn't you buy anything? Oh, I couldn't find anything that I really, really wanted, you know? And it's because she doesn't want to make a choice. There might be something better, and do I spend my money on this? And so I think we do that with God's will sometimes. We do that with the things that God asks us to do. We are afraid to take that choice because we might make the wrong one, and there might be something better out there. And so when it comes to God's will, a lot of us, we overanalyze things and we hesitate, don't we? And why do we hesitate? I think that we hesitate to make a decision is because we want to make a decision without needing faith. We call ourselves followers of Jesus, but we want this faith-free life. You see, here's what Hebrews 11:6 tells us about that. It says, without faith. So what it's saying is, if you need assurance before you can make a decision or make a move, let me tell you, it's impossible to please God. It says it right there. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. And then what does God do for us? It says he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So I want to tell you this morning, if you seek him, you will find him. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then he'll reveal everything and all these other things will be added unto you. It's in his words. And catch this, for most of us, the more we analyze our situation, the less we obey. Why is that? It's because we don't want to make the wrong decision. And so we make no decision, right? We make no decision. And so when we make no decision for God, we have to understand that no decision is a decision. It's a decision. We're waiting for this sign. We're waiting for that until it's 100% sure, till he's revealed the whole map. He showed everything to us. And we end up waiting ourselves right into disobedience at times because it takes faith to actually please God, right? And so I want to show you another powerful verse, and I want to take this verse hopefully to a whole nother level for you this morning. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, all right? It says this, excuse me, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own knowledge. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You see, there's other versions out there. The King James versions will say, acknowledge him. The word, the Hebrew word for this is yada, all right? So in all your ways, yada him, know him. And yada, what it means is, it means to know deeply, relationally, and experientially. That's what yada means. And so if you want to know God's will, you have to know God's heart. You have to yada him, right? And so this is not just head knowledge, right? This is relational. This is experiential knowing. And so are you ready to take this verse to another level? I want to show you this. That same word yada, it's used in Genesis chapter 4 whenever Adam, and he's talking about Adam and Eve, and he says, Adam yada Eve, his wife, and she conceived. That's pretty intimate knowing, right? What a profound connection I think that this is. In all your ways, yada him. In all your ways, know him intimately. Submit to him. See, this doesn't just mean to comply with his teachings. This means to connect with his heart. We got to know God's heart. You see, this isn't just about obedience. This is intimate awareness of his nature, of his character, of his sovereignty, of his glory, of his righteousness, of his holiness, of his goodness, of his joy. You see, this is living in the presence of God. That's what we need to do. In all your ways, yada him. In all your ways, know him. In your dating, you should know him. In your marriage, know him. See, you need to have a Christ-centered marriage, don't we? In your parenting, you need to know him. Let me tell you, your goal as a parent is not to have a kid on the traveling team. Your goal should be to have a kid that fears the Lord and follows his ways. That should be your goal. In your finances, yada him, know him, give him your tithe and your offerings because you know him, you love him, and you yada him. In the way that we treat people, we need to know him. Have the fruits of the Spirit that come out of your life each and every day. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You see, when we have those things with all of your heart, if you yada him with all your heart, in all your ways, yada him and know him, and he will make your path straight. That's what his word says. Is this making sense this morning? So will you have the perfect map for the next 5 years? No. No. Will you be nervous at times? If you're like me, yes, you will be. Will you be uncomfortable when it comes to taking that next step of faith? Yes. But I want to tell you this morning, obey God anyways. Obey him anyways, even if you're afraid, because you'll never fulfill your calling if fear gets the final vote. You never will. It takes faith. And see, think about this for a minute. Every time God called someone in the Bible to do something big or anything at all, it took faith. It took faith, didn't it? You see, like Abraham, God tells him, he says, hey, leave your home and I'll bless you and I'll make you father of many nations. Abraham says, okay. He says, where are we going? God says, I'll tell you later. It took faith, right? It took faith. He says, hey, Noah, I need you to build a really big boat. But God, it's not even raining. It took faith. Jonah, he says, Jonah, go and preach to the Ninevites, not knowing whether they're going to accept him or kill him. It took faith. We look at Mary. You can see this teenage girl, and the angel says, hey, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come on you, and you're going to give birth to a son, and we're going to call him Jesus. It took faith for her to say yes. Think about Peter. Peter, come and walk on water. Get out of the boat. It took faith. Think about Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Carry your cross. Not my will, but your will be done. And all the way to the very end, when he declared, it is finished, Jesus obeyed the Father in faith. In faith. And I can promise you this. If you're actively walking with Jesus each and every day, you're trying to follow his moral will for your life, you're going to be doing things that take faith. If you're going to follow him, you're going to be doing things that take faith. And so what do? Sometimes we over-spiritualize it, and sometimes we over-analyze it. The third trap that I want us to look at this morning is that we fall into, we assume that hard means wrong. We talked a little bit about this last week as well. We assume that if something is difficult, well, then it just must not be God's will. You've probably been there at some point. I know I have been. You've prayed and you tried to trust God with your future, but yet you still feel all alone. Or you tried to trust God with your finances and you still feel like you're struggling financially. At some point, you might not say it out loud, but you're probably going to think, if it's hard, it must not be God's will. And I can tell you that God's will is always good. But it's not always easy. It's not always easy. And can I tell you, if hard equals wrong, then the cross was the biggest mistake in history. Jesus was obedient to the death on the cross, but it wasn't easy. It was hard. It was hard. And the Bible's really clear to us in 1 Peter 3:17, where it says, "For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than it is for doing evil." See, suffering's never easy, is it? But if it's God's will, it's actually better to do something hard for the glory of God than it is to do something easy for our own selfish motives. You see, sometimes I think also we confuse difficult with not being God's will. But on the other side, the flip side of that, I think sometimes I see people that confuse a lack of conviction with confirmation. In other words, well, I don't really feel convicted about this, and so it must not be wrong. Like God, we know that your word says that sex is reserved for marriage, but you know what, God, we're in love. We're in love, and we're married in our hearts. We don't feel convicted about it. Well, can I tell you, just because you don't feel convicted doesn't mean that you're not compromising. It doesn't mean it. And I said this in week number one, and I want to say it again today. You cannot walk in God's will if you're disobeying God's word. All of it. Not the ones we want to pick and choose. Not the ones that make us feel good. Even the ones that step on our toes. Especially those. Those that want to change us into His image and in His likeness. You can't compromise God's word. You can't walk in God's will if you're disobeying God's word. So His will for you and me is to be holy and to be set apart. And sometimes His will, it's not easy. It's just not easy. It's not easy to die to your flesh and to your own desires, is it? It's not easy to say less of me and more of you. You see, it was Paul that says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, still I'm here. You see, it's Christ who's living in me. Let me say it this way. If you're looking for easy, you're not looking for Jesus. You're not looking for Jesus. And over the last few weeks, I know that I've covered a lot of ground talking about God's will. And I want to wrap it up with some reflection questions. You know me, I love to ask you questions. And before we ask these questions, I just want us to get into a moment of prayer. Would you right now in your heart and just say, God, speak to me. And I believe if you'll truly seek Him, you will find Him. His word says it, and I believe it. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. I can't say it. I can't tell you this. Only God can. So ask yourself this question. Where are you waiting for a sign when God has already given you a step? I'm not going to go fast. I'm going to give you time to ask God these questions and really seek His face. Where is it this morning that you're seeking a sign when God has already given you your step? He's already said, hey, come, do this. Go, do that. But we're still standing around saying, God, give me a sign. Is there a place in your heart this morning, in your life? Ask yourself this question. Where are you overanalyzing and you need to grow your faith? You're looking for ways to hesitate into disobedience to the fact that you just don't make a decision at all. And that decision becomes of no decision becomes a decision for you. God, where is it? Where is it that I need to grow in my faith today? This question is one I've asked myself. All week long. God, where are you calling me to trust you enough to risk something? Where is God calling you to trust Him enough that you'll risk something? Is He calling you to go next door to your neighbor? Hey, just wanted to know if there's something I could pray with you about. That ain't easy sometimes. sometimes, is it? But you got to trust him. You got to risk it. Because what if God's asking you to go do that and you don't? Where is he asking you to trust him enough that you'll risk something? God, I don't know. I know you're telling me I need to take this job over here, but I'm really comfortable in this job. And I don't know if I'd be able to pay my bills if I went to that job. But for some reason, I know you're telling me to take that job. Are you willing to risk it and just be in his will? Are you willing to just say, you know what, God, I don't trust you enough. I don't know how this is going to work out. So I think I'll just stay right here. This whole series has been about just speak to me, God. And I want you to understand, if you want God to speak to you, you got to know his heart. You got to seek his face and not just his hands. And that's what I want for you and me this morning. I want us to just enter into a moment of worship, into his presence, and not seek God for his hands, but seek his face. Because when we look upon his face, we can see his heart. We can get to know his heart. When you begin to know his heart, you can walk in his will. When you begin to walk in God's will, let me tell you, there's no place like being in the center of God's will. I used to tell the kids in kids' church, God's will is kind of like this umbrella. You're holding it and you're in the center of it. The rain and the storm can't touch you. But you begin to start looking around and you start looking at other things, and before you know it, you're out from underneath it and you start getting the sprinkles and, oh, we got to come back. I need to get back in the center of God's will. If you want to know God's will, you got to know his heart. How do you know God's heart? You get in his word. You hide his word in your heart. And then all of a sudden, the things that you want are the things that he wants. He begins to renew your mind. That's what his word says. He says through the renewing of your mind, you begin to want the things that he wants. When you begin to want the thing he wants, your heart becomes more like his, and you become more like him. And that's my desire for me, my desire for you, us as a church, is that we are a direct reflection of him. That we can walk in his will and in his ways with confidence, knowing this is what God wants me to do. Is it going to be easy? Not always. But I'm going to tell you, it'll be rewarding. It'll be rewarding. I want to show you one more verse here. Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight this morning. Take a moment to delight in his presence right now. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to just get into his presence for a moment and ask him to speak into your life. I can't speak into it like he can. Only the Holy Spirit knows you well enough to speak into you the things of God's heart. And so it's when we get to know his heart, you'll get to know his will. You delight in him. And he starts making you more and more like him each and every day. And I can promise you this, if you seek him, you'll find him, and he will direct your steps. Father, this morning I pray that you would do a work in us. Lord, that you would do a work in me. Do a work in our church this morning, God. Father, I pray that you would give us a desire for more of you and less of us. Father, that we would hunger and thirst after your righteousness, as your word tells us. Father, that you would lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, that's my heart today, is that your truth, because it's your truth that will set us free. Father, there's people here this morning and they know you. They serve you. They read your word. They pray. But Father, this morning we just come to you and we want to know you more intimately. We want to know you more intimately. We want to yada you this morning, God. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand up this morning. If you want to yada him, you want to know him more, you want to know his heart so you can know his will, raise your hand this morning and just worship him for a moment. Just seek his face right now. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We give glory and honor to you, for you're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of our soul, the one that designed us and created us and gave us the gifts and talents that you want us to use for your glory. Father, I pray you'd help each and every one of us to walk in your ways today. I love you, Jesus.